Today is the birthday of the church, and some parts of our worship reflect the day on which the church was established, the day of Pentecost. And you will notice that we are doing a few things a little differently, for this is a unique birthday party. Over the last 2 years, many of us have participated in remote birthday events, and probably drive-through and drive-by birthday parties, or perhaps some discreet little gatherings where everyone is wearing a mask while practicing physical distancing. Good news. I think it's generally accepted that people are expecting a gradual reopening of venues in the very near future, and some of that has already started. And in the Anglican Diocese of Toronto, the diocese moved into what is considered the green stage of reopening as of today. So I hope that you will be able to join us for lemonade on the lawn after worship, part of our birthday celebration today, and take the time and the opportunity to congratulate Kathleen, who will be baptized in a few minutes. I want to publicly acknowledge the work that's been done behind the scenes, work that goes unnoticed in the parish, and a special thanks to those who have assisted in our reopening and for making the arrangements for this time of fellowship immediately following worship. So please don't stand and greet others at the door. Please go to the lemonade stand. Last week, we celebrated the feast of the Ascension of our Lord, and we were reminded that Jesus left three important gifts with his disciples. And I know that you remember them, but we'll repeat them just so that we have a good recall. He left these important gifts with his disciples and to those who are followers of Christ. And this is what we suggested. Jesus left his disciples with the Great Commission to take the gospel everywhere. He left his disciples a final blessing just before he returned to the Father. And he left his disciples and left us by extension the promise of the Holy Spirit. And today we celebrate the fulfillment of the third promise on the day of Pentecost. The reading from the Acts of the Apostles takes us back to the birthday of the church. We are told that the disciples were gathered when suddenly there was the sound of a powerful wind which filled the entire house. The Holy Spirit had arrived, and something special was about to happen. Listen again to this short excerpt from the first reading. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. We hear that the Spirit rested on each of them as a clear signal of one's personal relationship with Christ, so that every tongue may bear witness and tell of God's glory. And something incredible happened at that point, for the apostles began to speak in different languages as the Holy Spirit enabled them. We know from the reading that there were devout Jews in Jerusalem who had come from every country in the world known to the people of the Mediterranean region back in the first century. And they were shocked to hear the disciples speaking in their native languages, but could not quite understand what was happening. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. As always, my friends, there are different responses to the Holy Spirit. And we are no different today. For there are people who do not believe the gospel truths, perhaps due to lack of information or sometimes due to lack of persuasion. Some people believe while others disregard the message. But it was Peter who responded to the suggestion that the disciples were intoxicated. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, we won't get into any discussion about the time of day when one may or may not be intoxicated. But what we are aware of is that Peter's response was probably not intended to be factual or to be some theology, but it certainly got their attention so that he could address them. The confused response of the crowd set the stage for Peter's powerful sermon. Now, it is worth noting that Peter's audience would know the Jewish scripture, the Old Testament. So he was able to provide them a quotation from the prophet Joel to explain what was happening, the fulfillment of a prophecy and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are truths about the Holy Spirit which are selected from the Gospel of John to jog our memory today. And I'll just mention a few. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit reminds us of Jesus' words. The Holy Spirit shows us God's righteousness and announces God's judgment on evil. The Holy Spirit gives insights into future events. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ as part of the Trinity, working together as one God. And these are all found, if you'd like to do a bit of background reading, in John chapters 14 to 16, a lot of the workings of the Holy Spirit. And we know from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is described in so many ways, as sustainer, as comforter, as friend, as mediator. Just to mention a few. In Scripture, God's presence is often noticeable through distinct symbols like wind, like fire, like water. So as we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, we are reminded of three evident characteristics of the early church which still remain essential for the body of Christ today. The first is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit continues to lead and to guide the church, for God is still gathering his people and giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit to unite us as one body in Christ. Some people receive the gift of speaking in tongues, a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. And others receive divine inspiration and guidance through discernment. Yes, a gift to the early church which remains important for us today. Another characteristic of the early church which is still evident today is diversity and inclusion. The reading from the Acts of the Apostles lists the places of origin of the witnesses on the day of Pentecost and signals God's intention to include everyone into his church and makes it clear that Christ offers salvation to you and to me. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's good news. Because the Holy Spirit helps us to see beyond gender, to see beyond race, to see beyond age, sexuality, ability, social and economic status, and unite us all as one body in Christ. And the third characteristic of the early church, which is still important for us today, is witnessing. Witnessing. The early church was commissioned to go and spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. And now more than ever, especially with the gift of technology, we must lead by example in proclaiming the gospel and providing Christian service to everyone in God's world. And many of us here today, or probably all of us here today, as a result of the gift of witnessing of the Holy Spirit that took the gospel around the world. So today emphasizes the gift of the Holy Spirit, the diversity, and the witness of the church. God's winds of change are still blowing through the power of the Holy Spirit, which brings Christians together into one body, despite our unique attributes and our different ways of worship. And today we celebrate the Holy Spirit as the power of God among us, that heals us, that forgives us, that inspires us. The Holy Spirit empowered the disciples to witness, to love, and to serve. And we too have that great gift of God's love passed on to us. We too must take a stand against injustice and the abuse of power in society as we walk alongside those who are stifled by fear, those who are stifled by guilt or circumstances beyond their control. The Holy Spirit touched the lives of those who were gathered on the day of Pentecost. So we who are gathered here today have the opportunity not only to be touched by the Holy Spirit, but in turn touch others with love and faithful service. Kathleen, this is what you are committing to do today as a baptized person. And this is what we are all recommitting today. Kathleen, you will be prayed for. You'd be supported and encouraged by this cloud of witnesses, the church gathered here today, and others who are part of the wider church. And to that we say, thanks be to God. So my friends, united as one body in Christ, may we follow the example of the disciples and all the saints who have gone before us. And as we celebrate the birthday of the church today, we will all have the opportunity to join Kathleen as we renew our baptismal covenant to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. My siblings, my sisters and brothers, these thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.